and welcome. I'm Dennis Prout, Certified Financial Planner.
And I'm Shay Pataja, the co-host of
New Retirement Radio,
the podcast.
Investment advisory services offered through Capital Asset Advisory Services, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Securities offered through Genios Wealth Management Incorporated, member FINRA SIPC. Opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of Capital Asset Advisory Services. The topics discussed and the opinions given are for informational purposes only and are not intended as financial, tax, accounting, or legal advice, and are not intended to address the specific needs of any listener. Listeners are encouraged to discuss their individual needs with an appropriate professional.
And we have a team of appropriate professionals in the studio today live. Welcome back to New Retirement Radio on WTCM with Prout Financial Design with Mr. Dennis Prout. Good morning, sir.
It is great to be in. Thank you, Ron, on Thursday, June 25th. And also, we have these on podcasts. They're usually posted on our website. And about 2 to 3 weeks after, we have to go through compliance. And as in last week, there were a couple of areas that had to be deleted because we didn't include quite as much disclosure as we needed to do. So we're going to try this week, John Sluice. John Sluice, CPA, is joining us. We're going to try this week to make certain that we can comply. It's always interesting, for sure. But before we get going, I just want to say thank you to our listening audience. Your comments to the show, to us, about the information that we try to bring on a weekly basis has really, really been appreciated. And Heidi Thompson is joining us as well.
Good morning.
Great to have you with us. She is a financial advisor here at Prout Financial Design in Traverse City. By the way, our phone number, if you do happen to need to call us and set a meeting, is 231-947-3992. So this week we have John Sluice with us. Before we get into that conversation, because we're going to be talking about all these retirees now who didn't previously think they were going to be retiring, and now COVID has changed that deal quite a bit. We're seeing a lot more people come in and talking about the fact that, well, I'd planned retirement 2 and 3 years out, and given how things have changed, all the variety of things that have changed out there, it's changed my job. And or my job has changed so much that it's not even available, perhaps. So we see a variety of those kinds of situations, and we thought it made a lot of sense to talk to John about what to do in the year of retirement, because some of this may have come as a surprise to some of you, and how to talk about that. We're also briefly going to talk later in the show about the PPP program, just to update people on that on the business side. But before we get into that, too, I wanted to make an announcement that Heidi is going to be talking further on in the show, too. There's been some changes again made to the RMD scene for those who've already taken an RMD this year, and that's kind of exciting, too. So we have a lot to talk about today. A
lot of information.
You bet. So, John, it's always fun to have you join us. He is our CPA for our firm. He is with the firm called InTrust CPAs. Their phone number, 231-935-1590. 1590. Thank you. John was going to say it. I just thought, you know, I'm just going to test my own memory and see if it's good there.
I'm impressed. Yeah.
Exactly. So, seriously, this is it's kind of wild. You're seeing a lot of people being affected by COVID, and so are we.
We are seeing it a lot. And when you presented this topic, I was quite excited because we are seeing a lot of it, whether you're a teacher that may not necessarily like where it's going on the video side of things, you just don't have that connection anymore. Maybe you're a contractor that's required now to have face masks at the job site and you don't want to have that anymore. And you're just like, you know what? I was 2 years out from retirement, but we're just going to do it early. It's forcing the discussion at least. And we're excited because we're being pulled in on a regular basis for these as well. But there are many that don't have the discussion beforehand to think about some of the consequences that come with retirement. And so, especially when it comes fast like this, where it's a result of an event that they may not have been planning for.
So I was going to say, Dennis and John and Heidi, I thought you were going to talk about people that are changing retirement plans and working longer because of the performance of the stock market since March. But here you're talking about people that are retiring earlier.
Retiring earlier, yes.
Yes. Yes, because the situations have changed,
yeah.
Either emotionally or, you know, on their own, or it's being made for them.
Yeah. Now, Ron, we are seeing the what you talked about as well, where people are saying, you know what, I want to extend out. We're seeing that as well. Okay. But that has less emergency considerations. There's more of, okay, what do we do now because of that? Whereas there's a lot of getches or catches if you say, you know what, I'm going to retire. That we got to be pretty emergency or pretty quick on what we do. Flip side of that is there's also things that people tend to do when they're thinking of retiring that they shouldn't do. You know, so I've kind of lumped this into the things that you want to bunch in the year you retire and the things that you want to spread out in the year that you retire.
So what's bunching mean?
Bunching is there are certain things that you want to make sure you take advantage of in the specific year. So when I say bunch, you're going to push them together. So things that you do in the year and then things that you pull apart, you know. Mm. And broadly, anything that you think you should do in general, you spread out. You think the opposite. So a good example of where I typically see people that think of retiring, they're like, okay, I need to pull some money from my retirement account, or I need to shift some things around and get ready. Maybe I want to pay off that mortgage. I only have $20,000 left on a mortgage. And before I retire, I want to pay that off so I don't have a monthly payment. And so what I'm going to do, I'm going to pull it from the 401k. Well, if you pull it from your retirement account, that results in income. Income's not a bad thing, but if we're trying to do on the year you're retiring, if you do it all at once, all of a sudden you're spiking. And the whole reason that we pushed off all this income in using tax-deferred accounts is so that we can spread it to lower bracket years. So the worst thing that you can do is say, I'm going to retire. I need to do everything quick before, you know, as long as I'm here. So instead, you should spread it out. Mm. So that's one thing that I want everyone to hear here is that there are certain things that we need to do the year you retire. But more often than not, it's the patience and spread it out. You've been planning for years and years and years for your retirement. Don't blow that all and undo everything in 1 year.
So pay attention to the tax cost. Obviously, they can still take that opportunity perhaps next year. If you're talking to someone who's saying, well, I'm going to retire in August, instead of taking that lump sum out of the 401k, they may decide to take it in 2021.
Mm-hmm. Spread it out. And you may take some this year, sure. But you may say take some 2021. And again, what we're talking about here are things that it's a normal discussion. You know, people sure. plan in retirement. I want to spread it out. You're thinking through it. But what we're seeing here now is a result of COVID is it's happening faster. So it may be the 62-year-old or the 60-year-old that's saying, you know what, I was going to retire in 5 years. And so I've been thinking about it. But instead, I'm going to change gears. And I'm going to retire now. And so that's where it's forcing us to plan a little bit faster. And so here what we're talking about on this is to really spread things out in that concept.
So you're saying if you have that checklist of things you want to get done, don't let that pressure of wanting to check those things off. You really want to take a step back and say, what's the consequence of taking this action right now? Yeah. And consulting with either your financial advisor or your accountant and saying, you know, what's this going to mean to me? And is there a better way to do it?
Yeah, and for those of you that like those checklists to cross things off, to be comfortable spreading that checklist out into multiple years, and so you've planned for saying that, you know what, I'm going to check it off this year because I know I'm going to talk to my advisor and we're going to do it in 2022 or 2023, and it makes sense to do it that way versus not.
So you know, eventually, you'll get to make that check mark.
Yes.
There you go. And what's really interesting this year is the CARES Act allows someone to pay those funds back in over a 3-year period and treat it as though it was never income. Interesting twist?
Yeah, we have twists because of the COVID that we normally wouldn't have.
Exactly.
And I do want to mention, too, so you just heard me talk about how we want to spread things out. There are certain things that we have to take care of the year that you retire. And the big one there is contributing into retirement accounts. So whether it's an IRA or through your 401k, you have to do that when you have earned income. Well, once you retire, you no longer have earned income. And so we do need to take advantage of this year. So if it seems like forever ago, but January through March was actually a very good time for many people. And so we have that earned income. So if you're saying, you know what, I'm going to retire by the end of 2020, you still have income here. And you may have worked through this because maybe you got the PPP dollars from your employer. And so you have wages coming through June or July, but you're going to retire towards the end. We want to take advantage of that earned income to maximize certain things, specifically retirement contributions and potentially HSA or health savings account contributions.
HSAs, a wonderful deductible contribution that can be made, in essence, to a retirement-type account as long as it's used for health care costs in and or after retirement. It's totally tax-free.
Yeah, there's lots of articles out there, and I'm a big believer in this, is that is an HSA account the new IRA? Meaning that it's, I love them because they're tax-free on the way in and tax-free on the way out. And if you think about what do you spend in your retirement, spoiling the grandkids and health costs. So if there's about anything that we can plan on in retirement, health care costs are one of them. And so,
absolutely. Yeah. I call it a supercharged Roth IRA because the Roth IRA, you can't deduct going in. The HSA, you can.
Yep.
You can deduct it and treat it as though it was never income. Think of that. And if you draw it out again for health care costs, it's non-taxable on the way out. Now, when can someone run into trouble, possibly, if they're 65 with an HSA? You'd mentioned that before the show.
Yeah, so one of the gotchas that we tend to see with an HSA is you can only contribute into an HSA if you're in a high deductible plan. So you have a your deduction. So when you go to the doctor's office, you pay the first 100% of it, so up to maybe $2,700 or $3,200, something along those lines. Medicare is not a high deductible plan. And so if you're trying to contribute into an HSA before you hit Medicare, that's good. You want to hit and take advantage of it before you hit Medicare, because as soon as you are in Medicare, you can no longer contribute that once you hit that point.
Now, what if you're not taking Medicare?
Then you can, as long as you have an HSA, with one catch here. Many people say, well, I'm going to defer Part B because Part B is the one that you pay for. So they're thinking, okay, you know what? Part B is good. And they forget about Part A. So Part A is the free hospitalization side of things. So most, and you have to consciously defer it. And most people say, it's free. I might as well take it. Well, by taking that free Part A, you, in a sense, are now under a non-high deductible plan, and any contributions that you make after that point would have to be given back and potentially have an excise tax on top of it.
So as you're talking here, I'm thinking, you know, some people listening to this, their eyes are probably crossing because of the detail. And in terms of this, it also counts to me the value of actually sitting with someone like yourself and talking through these things.
Mm-hmm.
The value can be significant. It's not just necessarily the cost that they might incur for using or utilizing different services. It's the cost of the tax that might be imposed on them that otherwise they could completely avoid. Huge tax savings.
Huge tax savings and huge.
Talk this through.
And then also economic loss as well. Where I'm going to go back to the, you've been planning and putting dollars into tax-deferred accounts for years and years and years.
Mm-hmm.
Don't wipe that out by the urgency that you're going to feel potentially on that year that you're retiring. And again, what's pushing it different on the today's topic is COVID-19 might be pushing you into something faster than you would have normally planned. Most people plan for retirement well in advance. But here what we're seeing is people are all of a sudden, this event happened, and now they're feeling pushed into it. They're being pushed out of the school system. They're being pushed out because of, I'm the construction worker that no longer wants to wear the mask. And so you're doing things quick, and so you have to jump into these things. And that rush, you just start getting that internal feeling of, I need to check things off my list. And they unwind everything that they just did for years and years and years.
So don't cut off your nose to spite your face.
Yes.
This could be really expensive. And if I could counsel anyone out there who's in this process, take the time. Spend some money to save possibly a lot of money by avoiding the mistakes that you might possibly otherwise, you might possibly jump right into. Okay?
Yep, correct.
Great. So, John, one other mistake you specifically wanted to address in terms of people that they want to think about to possibly avoid in the year of retirement.
It deals with full retirement age. So this is one that you're going to hear quite a bit as you're
full
thinking
retirement
about
age as it relates to Social Security.
Correct. As it relates to Social Security. And so many individuals assume that retirement equals Social Security. So if you're talking about retirement, well, that means I'm going to start Social Security. And so maybe you were planning on retiring at 66 and a half when you met your full retirement age. But because of this, you might start at 62 or 63. And so you're going to start earlier. And you're saying, well, if I'm retiring, I have to take Social Security. That's not the case. Just because you're not working doesn't mean you have to start taking Social Security. You can, and you may want to talk to your financial advisor to determine whether that makes sense or not. But the catch with this is if you start taking your Social Security before you hit your full retirement age, you have earnings that you potentially, if you have earned income, and so again, let's look back into we made money January, February, March, April, and if you made money and it's before your full retirement age, that limit you hits pretty quick, and you may have to find that you're giving dollars back to the Social Security. And so deferring that Social Security may make sense and likely does make sense. So,
you bet. Especially because the increases that you'll get from Social Security, about 8% per year, plus any cost of living benefits too. Often when we run those comparisons, if we're running it over a 4 to 5 year period, the difference between collecting over a lifetime can wind up in sums exceeding $100,000. We're talking in some cases $200,000 to $300,000 in total income over a lifetime.
And like what John was saying, with if you started out the year and you're working and you're have some earned income and now you've hit a place where maybe you'll retire, you can always wait until after December 31st to start that Social Security in that next year. So if you can bridge that gap time, may not hit some of those income limits, right?
Yeah. So what the main misconception I'm hitting here is people are thinking that, okay, I'm retiring, I'm quitting working, I have to start Social Security. No, just because your retirement does not equal Social Security, because there are big tax ramifications and financial impacts that come along with that.
Tremendous. So a lot of this, again, mistakes to avoid. Have a conversation with your a tax consultant and your financial advisor, if at all possible. Mm-hmm. Now, John, also then time mistakes then to avoid, specific mistakes that you would counsel with people.
Yeah, one that comes with specific again with retirement here is the misconception that I want to move my primary residence when I retire. And so they think, okay, boom, I'm retiring now, so that means I'm going to move to Florida or I'm going to move to Arizona. So the rationale why that you would think about it is because Florida, Arizona, Wyoming, there's certain states that don't have income tax on the state level. And so you're going to say, well, I'm going to push my income to those different states. It may make sense, but I see all too often, especially again when we're making quick decisions like this, that they move their primary residence. And what happens is, by moving their primary residence, the residence here in Michigan, not uncaps, but it's no longer your primary residence, and all of a sudden you start paying higher income taxes. Sure. Michigan does have income tax. However, it favors retirees pretty heavily. And so even though there is an income tax, there is a lot of grace period that's there that you may find that the benefit of moving to, or the benefit of what you think you're getting by moving to, say, a Florida or Arizona isn't as good as you think it is when you offset it against that primary, the increase in property taxes. So before you go and make a quick move on your primary residence, because you're retiring now, you may choose to keep it here.
You save some money in the state income tax, and then you got slammed on the property tax.
Right, and you may find that you may not save as much as you think you're going to in the state income tax. That's exactly right.
Does Michigan, I thought somebody said some states for retirees or at a certain age, they cut property tax in half. Is that true?
They don't cut property taxes. What you're going to do is you have an increased standard deduction. Now, this goes, again, think of it almost like your full retirement age. It's more geared towards certain age limits that are in place, but you have a standard deduction of $40,000. And so whereas most individuals, it's $8,000, you have $40,000. And there's also a pension exemption, and Social Security is not taxed in Michigan. So when you start adding all what you get in retirement, the type of income that you get in retirement is oftentimes exempted from Michigan income taxes. And so that's where you may hear the misnomer that, okay, it's half off or something like that. Well, that's kind of where it's coming from, is that you really start looking at what's taxed in Michigan as a retiree is not much. So.
Ron, Colleen's trying to get your attention.
Oh, hello, Colleen. She's telling me that we have someone on the line with questions for our panel here today. And I have to go to the right page now to find it's Joe in Williamsburg is on Prout Financial Design's new retirement radio. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning. I apologize if you've already addressed this, but in the beginning of the pandemic, I panicked and got my Social Security and my wife's Social Security. And I think you can stop it, can't you? And if you've already addressed this, I'm sorry, but tell me how that works if you are able to stop it and then start it back up at your full retirement age.
You do have the ability to give it, to give that back. You do have to give it back, so you can't just stop it. You have to give back what you took. So you're going to have to figure out if you spent those dollars, how do you have those if you have in savings or otherwise. But you have a period. It's 2 years. You know, there's a period after that, or 1 year after you retire, or after
you start collecting,
you can give it back.
Social Security benefits. So, Joe, when did you start your Social Security benefits again?
I think they started, I've only had them for 1 month, actually.
Oh, my. Well, yeah. You can easily stop those. So are you saying you really do need to stop your Social Security benefits then?
Well, I think if I run the math, it makes sense. I wasn't really going to take it until 70, which I'm 65, but we panicked during this time and just decided to go ahead and take it. But
Joe, what you're talking about is very common, and what we're seeing here, unfortunately, and that's exactly why we're hitting and we're talking about it, is because of this pandemic, they you do knee-jerk reactions, or people pull and start doing things quicker because, oh, I'm going to think of retiring, or I need these dollars, and you wanted to, you need to take care of that, where you undo these oopses now that we have a little bit more time to think about it. And so
what a great opportunity you've got, because you've only started a month ago to put that money back in, and it'll continue to grow as though you never took it.
Yeah,
that's the awesome part of this, okay, Joe? So that'll give you another opportunity to take it at a later time, given your other income sources, okay?
And Joe, the form for that is SSA-521 for stopping that do-over, stopping your Social Security and repaying what you have already received. And that's the form that's associated with that.
Say that form again, if you would, Heidi.
That's form SSA-521.
And you say I'm the numbers person.
Gee,
that
no
was impressive.
Kidding. That is impressive.
Well, I happen to have my handy-dandy newsletter with me.
I did write that down. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you, Joe, for the call today.
Appreciate it, Joe. Man, he just fell right into our trap there, John.
And that's why we're talking about it.
Exactly.
It is. It's exactly. As people are doing, and they're making moves because they assume, and they're going down their checklist. Heidi, you mentioned it before, is that when you start thinking about retirement, you've got your checklist. So you may have been thinking about it, and you're like, whoa, this is a little bit sooner than I want, but I got to go through A, B, C, D, and E, and I have to do these. One we see quite common is I've got $20,000 left on my mortgage, and I want to have it paid off. And I had planned on paying my mortgage off before I retired. Well, now I'm going to pull these dollars from retirement, and I want to check that box off. That may make sense, may not make sense. So before you just pull the trigger and do things, think about it, because you have some time potentially.
There you go. Yeah, who would have thought this market would have responded like it did? This V formation has been amazing. Now, obviously, we've got some rough seas going on right now. But in terms of what it's done from, I think it was the 21st of March, how it's recuperated, or recovered rather, has been amazing to watch. Historic by some standards. By some standards, of which I'm not going to mention, because I don't have them right here with me.
I look at, about the 20th or 21st, you were at the Dow, 19,173. Well, actually, 18,000.
About 18.5 is what it closed at, I think, on the 23rd.
Now it's up to 25.5 today.
Yeah, yeah.
An
amazing recovery. Historic by many measures. All right, do we have another phone call here, Ron?
Yes, we are going to... Steve is in Traverse City. Good morning, Steve.
Yeah, this is for the accountant. Now, I am currently drawing Social Security, and my wife turned 62... If she starts drawing now, when she hits her full retirement age, does hers get a bump to half of mine, or is she locked at what she starts taking it at now?
So you're drawing Social Security now, and your wife is 62, you said?
Yes.
So you wonder, if she starts drawing it now, will she get a bump when she hits full retirement age?
What you're talking about there, it the answer is maybe. So you have to look at it specifically. First off, to answer your question, I would suggest, and I often do suggest, that go talk to the Social Security. They're actually fairly friendly. You know, there's that misconception because they lump the IRS and the Social Security together. I'm not going to go as the fairly friendly with IRS. They're working on that. But the Social Security, however, they are fairly friendly. And you can go and talk to them, and they'll run some different scenarios for you. But what specifically you're talking about here is whether or not you can take your benefit or your spouse's benefit. And just because you take one versus the other doesn't preclude you from taking the flip of those. And so what you're saying there is she's electing to take her benefit at 62 and being then thus taking the lower benefit. And then at age 66, dropping her benefit and taking her her spousal benefit. They are separate benefits and you can pick and choose. Be careful, though. There are catches with that, that if you take a discount when you take your own benefit, so in your case, your wife took her benefit and took a discount, when she takes her spousal benefit, there is also a discount on that.
That is correct.
So excellent, the answer is yes, you can, but not to the extent of what you potentially may be thinking. And that's where the Social Security will actually give you specific examples of if you do this, then this, or if you do that, then that. And so they are quite friendly.
Well, we went in there when I started drawing mine, and they did. He ran out a thing, but it was just with her, just as a steady amount. If she took it this day, it would be this. Okay, but then he did tell us that when she hits her full retirement, it should get bumped. It can bump up to the half of mine, the spousal. But yet, since she's now 62, we called, since you can't go in there, and we got a totally different answer. The guy was kind of rude and said, oh, no, it's going to be whatever you take now. It's never going to change.
Yeah, so what doesn't change is your benefit. So your wife took her benefit, and that benefit will...
You're saying she hasn't taken her benefit yet.
Correct.
Okay,
right.
But if your wife does start taking her benefit will never change. But there's the caveat. So the difficulty is both of the agents you're talking to are correct, but answering different questions. And so you got to be thinking. So her benefit doesn't change, but what she's doing is she's flipping from taking her benefit to taking her spousal benefit. So it's her Social Security benefit versus taking her spousal benefit. So they're two different benefits. So keep that in mind, and then also know that there are ramifications within both of them. So.
Okay. You've answered the conundrum here.
Mm-hmm. Excellent.
He was just being explicit in not being helpful.
Yes. He wasn't looking at the full situation and thinking,
we're
married.
And that was exactly
what
we were asking.
Right. Yeah, exactly. This is a whole nother, I get excited here because this could be a whole nother topic of the Social Security benefits and things to take on the different benefits you have that a lot of people assume it's just one benefit, but you actually have potentially more benefits. And you can start spinning even further when you talk about divorced benefits.
Divorce benefits
that's a whole nother show, I tell you.
There's the person that's going to keep us on topic. We like it.
Divorce benefits or deceased spouse's benefits, those can also come into this. So you really need to take a look at what are the total of all my benefits. You know, what if she does want to collect now? She wanted to take a lower amount, perhaps take half of mine if she's speaking of you or spouse, and then take my own benefit, you know, when I want to at my full retirement age if she's had work outside the home for a number of years and qualifies. See where that comes in? My goodness. Too much fun. Ron, we have another call.
Let's get another call before our break. New Retirement Radio, it's Robin Belair. Good morning, Rob.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Morning.
Nice sunny day, eh?
Yes, it is.
Beautiful.
Gorgeous. We'll take it.
Question regarding, I had to start my Social Security last July, a year early. I was 65 because of work conditions and I thought the agent had told me that when I turned 66, which was my maximum benefit age, that when I got to 66, which will be next month, that my payout would go up. Is that true?
No.
Okay.
Now, it will go up on a yearly basis with a cost of living if there's a cost of living benefit to collect. But the only way that would go up is if you'd collected less than a year and you paid it back, and then it would be treated as though you'd never taken it.
And the other way that it, so the very fast answer is no as well, and I would agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
The only potential way that it could go up is if your benefit was being decreased because you were having earned income, and therefore you were above that. Because you were before your full retirement age, and they were decreasing your benefit, and then now that you've hit your full retirement age, that is no longer being that penalized that you're getting hit. So that
could be a
perceived increase. It's not increasing your benefit, but it could be a perceived increase to you. That's the only, and that's a detailed eyes rolling answer as well.
I get it. Very entertaining. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Right. Well, good luck with it.
All right, bye.
All right, thanks for the buzz today. We have Kevin is on the line from Traverse City. Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning.
I
just got a chance to pull over, but you were talking about these health savings accounts earlier. And I found out this year when I sold a piece of property that it bumped me out of the Obama tax break thing, so I had to pay back $23,000 in last year's Obama subsidy. I was wondering if there's any savings programs that are tax exempt that will allow me to move forward on that.
What you're talking about are two separate things, but so an HSA is a mechanism to contribute to a retirement account and have a tax deduction. The Obamacare tax, what they have there is it's the premium tax credit that you received during the year, and it was a credit that you got each month to offset your taxes, and is based on the income that you estimate. And because you had a big gain, it probably was greater than the estimate that you gave them, and then therefore you had to give all of that back. Now, some strategies you could have potentially used to maybe not have to pay that back, that premium tax credit back, is utilizing either HSA or retirement contribution or other tax deductions to lower your income back. I find that I joke with my clients and say that I do more healthcare planning now than I do income tax planning because of this cliff that's there, that premium tax credit cliff. It is truly a cliff. If you're a dollar over it, you give it back potentially. And so there's a lot of planning and strategy that can happen to push that income back. And Heidi, again, going back to what we were talking about earlier, where we pull some dollars all of a sudden. If you are in premium tax credit and all of a sudden you push it because of retirement and you have to give it back, it could be a double whammy. And so, go ahead.
Did you already file your taxes, sir?
No, I held off because of this. I'm trying desperately to figure out a way to get my income underneath the level.
Are you self-employed?
Yes.
Well, you can do a SEP IRA potentially, unless you have employees. So you have to take a look at the cost. Yeah. Do you have employees?
Yes, I have a lot of employees.
Okay. Well, you may also be able to do just a regular IRA for last year.
Yeah, there's some.
Are you over the age of 50?
Yes.
Well, you could save up to $7,000 for your own IRA for last year. You have until July 15th. You probably already know this, to file your tax. I'd recommend you sit with an accountant to look at all your potentials. And if you're not happy with your accountant, call John. Get the information on what you might do. That's what I would advise first, okay? Yeah.
And some of these things have to be done by July 15th to get there. So it's pretty urgent that you do that. Meet with your accountant sooner than later. But you may not be able to get over that cliff, if you will. But there is strategies that you can do. And again, this is going to come back to why that planning is so important early on, because there's things you can do before the end of the year versus later. So.
Pretty tough situation. Thanks for the phone call.
Thank you.
Kevin, thanks a lot. Excuse me. We'll go to Marlon is in Cedar on WTCM. Hello, Marlon.
Yes, sir. Good morning.
Morning,
my
Marlon.
My question is, in as much as you don't have to take an RMD this year, required a minimum distribution, if I took it, could I put it back?
You could put it back, and that answers. Heidi's going to answer your question with
that
the statements
so
you wanted
it's
to make.
It's almost like we staged that.
Exactly.
I'm so glad you called, because I just have the new IRS notice 2020-51, which extends the deadline to August 31st, 2020, to return any unwanted 2020 RMDs that you may have taken. And this is for all unwanted RMDs taken in 2020 can now be returned or rolled over back into an IRA or a company plan. All even includes non-spouse IRAs or plan beneficiaries who could never do a rollover in the past. This is a time that they are allowed to do So the 60-day rollover period is extended to August 31st, 2020, no matter when in 2020 the RMD was taken. So if you took one in January, you have all the way to August 31st to put that back into the IRA or the employer plan. So thanks for the call, because that gave me the chance to make this announcement today, and this is new just in this week from the IRS. So
how about another question? What if you didn't take your RMD last year? Then you need to what do you do about that? Could you get any relief because you don't need to do an RMD this year?
You didn't take it in 2019,
right? So the point is, usually what happens is that if you get relief from them, then you have to double up the next year.
So was that your first year that you had to take your RMD?
No, it was not.
Okay, because if it was, then you could have waived taking it. But if it wasn't, you had to take your...
you have to take an RMD for last year, and you didn't take it, then you're going to need to actually take it this year and file the forms in order to get that corrected ASAP.
Right. The longer you leave it in there, the worse it is.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Well, one other comment quickly is that, you know, one thing they never talk about when the dilemma of when to take Social Security is the fact that if you do take Social Security, say at 66 instead of waiting till 70, is the enjoyment that you get from that money for the 4 years.
That's a great point.
Yeah, that is a good point. You got to balance it. It's always decisions are not necessarily just tax or financial based. You have to feel comfortable. And I see this happening with several baby boomers in that generation, is where they've been saving and saving and saving and saving. It's hard for them to start spending. And so that is part of that overall discussion and why a financial plan makes so much sense, to feel comfortable and know that you can start taking it.
Think about it. Appreciate the phone calls, the balance, the different decisions that you need to be thinking about in terms of tax, retirement. If retirement's looking a lot closer, perhaps, than it was previously. Now, John, you also wanted to talk about estimates, the thing that everyone loves in relation to taxes. And you want to talk about the importance of doing that, or?
Yeah, especially when it relates to retirement. And this is not a new topic, but especially if you're looking to retire here earlier because of COVID, that estimates become more crucial for you in retirement. I often tell people you're actually paying less tax. Oftentimes you're paying less taxes in retirement than you did prior, but it's going to feel like you're paying a lot more. And it's because it's more visible to you, whereas in the past it might have been pulled out automatically because of your employer took it, or it was something that you made through the business or through contributions, and you're contributing in to lower your income down, and thus you're paying less in taxes. But in retirement, you're paying it, but it's all coming through either estimates or a couple other mechanisms. And so making those estimates, planning ahead, thinking through that and knowing what it's going to be. So Social Security, whether it becomes taxable or not, they're not going to automatically withhold for you. So as a surprise, if you have other income, they may withhold, but now all of a sudden you have to pay taxes on that Social Security. It might hit you at the end. So it feels like a bigger tax. But oftentimes you're paying less, but know that it's going to come. That's the overall comment, and, you know, call it public service announcement, if anything. So
know that it's going to come in terms of what? What do you mean?
Well, so again, you're still going to pay taxes in social or in retirement.
Right.
There's a chance that you won't, but you're going to feel it, because the Social Security by default isn't going to necessarily withhold those dollars from you. Or if you pull dollars from a retirement account, they may not. You have the option to the amount that you're going to have withheld. So you have to choose, and you have the option to not have anything withheld. It's more on you and you're making those choices versus the employer dictating what it is. And so it's more in your purview. And so making those estimates or knowing what you have to withhold to be appropriate is important. So you are going to become more visible to the taxes you're paying. Oftentimes it's less than what you have, but it's more visible to you, so it's going to feel like it's more.
Often it's a great idea, and we have the conversation with clients. How much do we want to withhold for that income? And it can be sent directly to the IRS, in most cases for you, so that when you receive your 1099 at the end of the year from that IRA, it's not only the taxable income, but the amount that was withheld as well. So keep in mind, again, that when you're drawing that income, you want to pay the tax as it comes out, especially, obviously, if it's taxable. And that also points up the benefits of taking money from Roth IRAs as a part of our retirement.
Did you say Social Security may or may not withhold for you?
You have the option to tell it to withhold. They, by default, they will not withhold. And so you have to consciously make that decision to have them withhold. And many people choose not to have the IRS or the Social Security withhold. They may choose to have over withhold inside of maybe an IRA distribution that they're getting. Hmm. So they're actually holding more under that account to account for the Social Security or making estimates. Yeah. So there's a lot of choices you have. And again, that gets back to the point is you now are in control in retirement, whereas before it might have been your employer or it was more dictated. And so that's where people feel like they're paying more, but it's because they're in charge of it now. And so having that knowledge ahead of time is important.
Be intentional.
Yeah.
Good point. Appreciate it, John.
John Sluice from Intrust CPA.
That is correct.
CPA 935-1590. Dennis Prout, Prout Financial Team at Prout Financial Design. You'll have to do your number, Dennis. I don't have it here.
ProutFinancialDesign.com. If you do want to listen to the podcast, it's about a 2 week or so delay. Go right onto our website. You'll see the radio show right there. You can easily listen to it. And man, what a great piece of a bunch of information, if you will, John. Sure appreciate having you come on, a continuing advisor to us, and hopefully been helpful to our listening audience too.
Thanks so much for listening. You can find us online at ProutFinancialDesign.com. That's P-R-O-U-T, financialdesign.com. Also, you'll be able to find us on iTunes and SoundCloud.